Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Wisconsin Parkinson Association's podcast. I'm Jeremy Oddie, Director of Outreach and Education for the Wisconsin Parkinson Association. The WPA provides hope, community, support, and resources for people with Parkinson's and their loved ones. With this podcast, we want to provide you with information on the Wisconsin Parkinson Association, as well as share information on Parkinson's disease itself and people in our community who are impacted by Parkinson's. Today, we are going to talk with D.R. Salerno. D.R. is the owner of Amada Senior Care of Greater Milwaukee. With D.R., we are going to discuss what services Amada provides, how he got involved in senior care, and his upcoming presentation on Caregiver Toolkit at our Parkinson's Disease Symposium in July. Welcome, D.R. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Not a problem. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who D.R. Salerno is and a little bit about what Amada Senior Care does.
Okay, great. Thank you. So, Amada Senior Care is a home care agency. We provide non-medical in-home care. So we help families and loved ones stay home longer independently with assistance with many of the personal care activities like bathing and dressing and helping to go to the bathroom and meal prep and some of the other homemaker services. We try to really customize the care plan to each of the clients. So some needs are short term in the morning, some are longer during the day, overnight, 24 hours a day, whatever appropriate based on the care needs, based on the disease state, we try to adjust accordingly. And Amada is a Spanish word for meaning beloved. So we have a nationwide footprint. We service Amada Milwaukee, Greater Milwaukee services all southeast Wisconsin, but there are over 100 Amadas around the country, and they can be found at Amada, A-M-A-D-A, AmadaSeniorCare.com. So for those that are outside of this area, I think that could be a resource. One thing that was recently announced is that Amada Senior Care is the exclusive provider for the NFL Alumni Association. So for people that have played in the NFL and they're now receiving or some kind of, whether it be Parkinson's or dementia or CTE, we can be the care provider for them.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I think the NFL connection came because one of your founders of Amada used to play in the NFL, am I correct?
Correct, yeah. Taffa Jefferson, founder. He played for the Bears in the mid-90s as an undrafted free agent. And I kind of skirt the Bears thing in very fast because we're in Packerland here. But so his mother being a CNA, that was his inspiration to co-found this. He partnered with Chad Fotheringham, his college football teammate, and that's what they started.
Thank you. Now, you said, if I'm not in southeastern Wisconsin, AmadaSeniorCare.com. I want to call you, DR. What's your phone number?
262-395-7928.
And again?
262-395-7928. Our website locally is AmadaMilwaukee.com. There's a lot of information on there regarding some of the home care programs, also some of the funding sources like long-term care insurance, and also how we help with veterans benefits, along with some of our testimonials from our current and past clients.
So how long have you been doing this as a senior care provider, and specifically senior care, but then how long have you been doing it with Amada?
Going on 4 years.
4 years?
Okay.
Yeah. So in that time, what are the greatest needs you see when you go in and interview with a family, seeing if your services, what are the things you're seeing typical that you need, and what are the things that maybe families really need they don't realize until they talk to you and go, oh, you'll do that for us?
Usually when I walk into a family's home, there's either a couple different emotions. There's either sheer just plain confusion. They don't know what to do next. Or there's people are underselling their care need. or the last thing people don't want to make a decision. They want information, but they don't really want to act. So for the confusion part, we try to educate, we try to inform, we try to help families understand options. You know, we can, it's not so much, you know, the caregiver Sally going in to help Mr. Jones. It's how do we pay for the care too? It's that holistic approach to care. And that's one of the things that we try to really, you know, with, especially with sometimes people have funding sources available to them that they don't know about. And sometimes that really can make a difference. But, you know, it's that there's, we see a lot of times that family caregiver, you know, the spouse, the husband or wife, you know, the son or the daughter wants to be the caregiver, take care of mom or dad, or the spouse. We try to say, hey, let's keep your relationships natural. Know your mom as your mom, not as your care patient. Or know your spouse as your spouse, not as person that you have to help to the bathroom and go to and to shower and help them get dressed. Those are try to things that we try to help to keep the relationships natural and enjoy the time they have together as family time, not care provider time.
You said paying for care, finding fund sources. How would you do that with them? That, you know, you said they may not be aware that they have these options. What is it you and your team will do with them to help explore what opportunities they may have?
As part of our standard assessment, which is all very, you know, it's very basic, to the point, and also no charge. We try to identify, number one, care needs. Are there certain parts of the day or night that is more acute in terms of higher need care than other areas of the day or night? Then we try to figure out, number one, if they have long-term care insurance, if they have life insurance with a long-term care rider, or if they've served in the military. We've expanded that. Sometimes we've been able to find basically using home equity to pay for care in some cases. And so we try to figure out sometimes, you know, regarding like the veterans, people say, well, you know, yeah, he served in World War II and he came back to serve in Korea. I never knew this program existed. So there's some resources, some of the benefits, you know, it's with the VA, so they're very, very, they have a lot of overall criteria, but there is a program that could pay out anywhere from, you know, $1,100 a month up to about $2,200 or $2,300 a month. And that could really make a difference.
You've shared with me before, it doesn't just have to be an active or a person who had active duty, it may be a surviving spouse as well that's mm-hmm. eligible. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, so there's a program that we support with the VA called Aid and Attendance. And that's a program that can support an active veteran or could support a surviving spouse. And there's been occasions where we find that the surviving spouse isn't aware of the program. And so then once they understand the program, we say, hey, you know, we can support you. We can help educate you. And it might be a funding source. It might be the difference of staying home for like a longer period of time. Or if you decide to, or if the patient decides to move into a care community, assisted living, it might help to lessen the cost of such a community.
And I would think, in your experience, if the spouse who served is gone, most of us surviving spouses just assume it's for them. So I'm sure that really encourages them and provides another opportunity that they're unaware of when you guys alert them to this information.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, there's been several occasions where we were able to help out. We were able to encourage them to apply for the benefit. You know, it has to go through the VA process, and they say, well, we would never have even known. So we try. No, that's part of the information. That's part of the education. Helping to give people resources to make a good informed decision.
When you say VA, most people I work with, DR, they hear VA, they're thinking of the VA hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
when you're working with the VA, are you working with the hospitals, or do you have other channels you're working with to get people to the VA hospitals?
Well, it kind of depends on the program. So, for example, like the aid in attendance benefit program is basically navigated through the support center. So it's really not so much, it's not the VA hospital. So if you're local to Milwaukee, it's not basically the Clemens Zablocki building, VA hospital, which is very busy. It's the support structure to the side of the hospital. But there are other veterans benefits like prescription drug benefit, being able to see a doctor once a year. So there are things that we encourage the veterans to look at, because you know it's kind of, you served our country. We can do, you know, basically the least we can do is to help inform you of what's out there. So.
I think the important part you said is the support. I think every county has its own veterans support office.
Correct.
So you can look, whether you're in Wisconsin or elsewhere, every county has its own veterans affairs office that will work with you and find some of these services. So if you don't have DR and his great team coming in, you may still have those opportunities to look into and see what's available for you in benefits. One of the other things you had mentioned way earlier that I want to touch on, because it's something I get a lot from people. You know, you go in, you're doing an assessment. First of all, I want you to repeat what you said. The assessment is?
No charge.
And I think that's pretty common for most home care. They're going to come in. And I think that's good for people to come in, get some opportunities, get some options, and see where you click. Mm-hmm. Have a couple people come in. You're having somebody come to your house every day. Make sure they work for you. Mm-hmm. But you also talked about, you guys do non-medical. Can you... You touched on it briefly, but can you explain the difference between non-medical versus maybe medical home care?
Sure. So in the state of Wisconsin, and it could be different based on other states, but using this state as an example, so basically non-medical home care involves activities of daily living. So ADL is an acronym. And what an ADL is basically bathing, dressing, transferring, toileting, feeding, and assistance with any incontinence. So those are personal care. It's also known as personal care. It's also known as supportive home care. And then they're all customizable. So say that a family member doesn't need help with all six, they can need help with two. Doesn't mean that, you know, it's almost like a misnomer regarding bathing. Bathing doesn't always mean soap on the back. It could mean assistance in and out of a shower. It could be just being, you know, we find that falls are the number one home injury. Number one place for it to happen is going in and out of a bathroom. And so, as you know, getting into a shower with soap, and it gets very slick in there sometimes. And so that's where, you know, sometimes if they don't have a bench seat in place or some other kind of grab bar situation, you know, kind of mechanical assists, there's a risk of a fall. And so at least have a caregiver do a safe transfer into a tub or into a shower, you know, that the loved one can do the bathing themselves, but then, you know, being able to keep safe. So that's pretty much the non-medical, when you also include like meal preparation, housekeeping, laundry, maybe going to the store, or like, you know, picking up a prescription or going to a grocery store. If you shift over to the medical side, at least in the state of Wisconsin, it's the therapy piece. So occupational therapy, physical therapy, it's a home health nurse. Typically, most of the time, if there's a discharge from a nursing home or some kind of a short-term rehab center, a lot of times the medical home care is basically paid for by Medicare for a period of time. So they have a number of covered visits. Right now, the non-medical piece is not included in the Medicare reimbursement. So there's been some adjustments on some of the Medicare Advantage plans, but, you know, they're still kind of getting off the ground with those. But so typically, if we go back to the medical home care or home health, that's really OT, PT, so occupational, physical, speech therapy, home health nurse. So they're all valued services. And, you know, as you kind of build a care plan, it's figuring out how all those pieces work together to the benefit of your loved one.
As you talk about non-medical and some of the stuff you do, bathing, cooking, picking up prescriptions, do you explain or what kind of feedback do you get that not only is it for the person with the disease, whatever, if it's Parkinson's disease, as we're talking about, or some other diagnosis, that not only are you helping them, but you're also providing maybe some respite for the spouse, the child, or whoever the caregiver may be. Mm-hmm. What kind of interaction, discussion do you have there? And what's the reaction when they realize it's going to give them a break as well?
Family caregiver burnout is a major issue. We see it quite often. So it's that spouse, you know, the loving wife caring for the husband, or vice versa. It's a husband caring for the wife. We see that basically the studies that we see, but there's about 50% chance that the spouse may be affected by something as a result of being the primary caregiver for their loved one. Because why, you say? Because they're also run down. It's a huge emotional, physical, financial commitment on the part of that family member to be the family caregiver. So it could be in terms of lack of sleep. You know, so if you go for an extended period and you don't have good sleep, then you basically begin to compromise your own health. And so that's one of the things we see is that there's a loving intention, that the heart is pure and they want to do it. But then that's where we come in and say, hey, look, we understand that. That's very noble, very honorable. However, everyone needs a break. So, you know, we've done care plans where basically the care plan is to do some activities with the wife so the husband can go to the movies and take a 2-hour break, you know, and that's where we try to figure out the balancing. And basically as we plan for care, it's all a balancing act. And so in terms of, it means something different to different families.
My loved one's diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. What are some of the steps and tools I should have to be a caregiver, as a family caregiver, which would maybe supplement what you do, but what are things that you would recommend a family, you know, starts planning, considering, and prepares for?
It's a lot. It's understanding that it's a huge adjustment. It's almost like a new normal. So where the previous relationship of saying that's my dad, that's my mom, that's my uncle, that's my aunt, that's my wife, that's my husband, it's a new kind of relationship. Sometimes to the better and sometimes not. So it's that, number one, having that realization. Number two is having the flexibility in the schedule to allow for that. Sometimes we see people have to take family medical leave. People have to adjust their hours at work. Oh, I can't work, or I need to work from home. It's that adjustment of schedule. But then, you know, you always have to figure out how does that could potentially impact the paycheck or your income. And it's having the resources and the information as to what can be done, what should be done on the care schedule. So for example, is it medication reminders? Is there exercise assistance involved? Is there activities involved? Is there a time of day where more care is needed than less care? Is there any equipment needed? You know, with like a transfer, or, you know, helping to keep, you know, safety is one of the most important things that we encourage. And so sometimes we see family caregivers do a really good job, and other times they do a good job for a period of time and they just say, wow, I've had enough. Other times they just say, you know what, I think I want to hire, I want to talk to a professional, somebody who's certified, somebody who's had clinicals, somebody who's been through the process, somebody who has insurance, you know, bonded insured, because a lot of times if something happens in the house, even if a family hires a private caregiver, saying that you know a friend who knows a friend, that somebody's going to nursing school, you know, if anything happens, they're the employer of record. They're the people holding the liability. And those are the type of things that we try to encourage and educate the families to because if they want to go down that route, we fine, understand it, support it. However, you know, there's some of the trade-offs.
So you've touched on a little bit. I mentioned at the beginning, you're going to be presenting at our symposium on July 26th at the Wisconsin Center. Your presentation will be Caregiver Toolkit, and you've touched a little bit of what it is. So without giving away your whole presentation.
Yeah, because we all want you to attend.
Absolutely. What are some of the tools you're going to touch on and have discussions with people about on the 26th of July?
So basically it's going to be a good discussion of several topics about having a successful caregiver toolkit. What does it mean? How do you plan to age well? How do you plan for care if you need it or when you need it? So we're going to talk about things like an aging plan. What does that mean? Basically, directives, power of attorney. We're going to discuss how do you actually proceed with that? What are the resources, free resources available for you? We're going to discuss things like how to pay for care, help with the veterans benefits, helping if you have long-term care insurance. What are the symptoms of family caregiver burnout? When do you see a loved one going down that path? Those are type things. And then if you decide to make a decision, what are the risk factors involved with that decision? So that we have, you know, we kind of present a coherent discussion, and, you know, should be a really strong resource and good information for everyone.
It sounds very comprehensive. I think one of the ones you touched on, DR, that I've experienced at a support group was advanced directives. It amazes me how people can be married or together for very long times and have never had that discussion. The example I always use is, in my support group, I had a couple that had been together 54 years, and we were discussing advanced directives and how to fill it out. And during the group, they started arguing because she thought he wanted to be buried. He definitely wanted to be cremated, and he thought she wanted to be cremated. She wanted to be buried, and it became a discussion, and they kind of looked at each other and went, we've been together 54 years. How has this not come up?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking you're going to give them a lot of tools to have some of these tough discussions, but also very important discussion.
Correct. Yeah, it should really use this as an opportunity to really define your wishes, define your preferences, so that if and when the time comes, everything is very clear, and so there's no, less of the drama for this part, because there's a lot of emotional from the other aspects of that.
And then the last thing I'm going to touch, you mentioned aging well and aging in place. And I think one of the things our caregivers forget is that they are caregivers. And you touched on caregiver burnout. One of the things I see a lot is caregivers don't realize that, hey, if I'm not good, my health is going bad, and then my spouse's the condition is getting worse, I'm not helping anybody. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I'm sure you're going to touch on is if I, as a caregiver, get sick, what happens?
Mm-hmm.
And how, what happens to the loved one with Parkinson's or whatever the case may be?
Yeah, it's almost like you have to plan for two people. And so there's been instances where we get a referral from a nursing home. We go there. We're like, okay, what would be the care needs? No, it's not for me. It's for my husband. Oh, look around. Husband's not in the room. Husband's at home. I'm the primary. I provide care to the husband, my husband. Okay. So we should do the assessment on your husband. Well, yeah, but, you know, I want to meet you first. And so it's that dynamic that, you know, we need to be really, really careful about, because if the primary caregiver gets sick or is unhealthy or goes through an episode where they're hospitalized and goes to spend 2 or 3 days in a hospital and 15 days in a skilled nursing rehab center, you know, so that's 18 days. What's going to happen to that person at home that really needs the care? And so those are significant considerations to really discuss and really plan for. That's part of having the directives, part of having an aging plan, so we know what to do, and it's a matter of basically accessing a document versus making one up on the fly.
Well, thank you for everything. If you don't come on July 22nd or 26th, July 26th, and meet DR in person, what was your phone number again?
262-395-7928.
Perfect.
And the website is Amada, A-M-A-D-A, AmadaMilwaukee.com. And nationwide, if you're outside of Wisconsin, it is AmadaSeniorCare.com.
Well, DR, thank you so much for your time today and sharing your caregiver knowledge. We hope this will help our listeners understand their options for home health care, as well as being a better caregiver themselves. As we discussed today, if you are a caregiver, please know you are not alone. There are many services and options to assist you and your loved one. Reach out to the WPA for resources in your area and discuss your options going forward. Together, we can work and find tools that allow you to maintain your own health while providing independence for your loved one. As we have discussed on previous episodes, our goal is to help you manage this journey and find things to help you through and during your diagnosis. One way you can do this, as we mentioned, is come meet DR in person at the annual Parkinson Disease Symposium on Friday, July 26 in Milwaukee, where he'll present more information on building your caregiver toolkit. The symposium is a free, full-day education program for people with Parkinson's and their loved ones. You will have the opportunity to attend sessions on sleep and Parkinson's disease, music therapy, nutrition and complementary medications, exercise, and other sessions specific for caregivers. Please go to our website at wiparkinson.org, again, wiparkinson.org, to learn more about upcoming programs and support or exercise groups in your area. Or you can always call us at 414-312-6990. Again, that's 414-312-6990 to learn more about the WPA and how we can best assist you. All of our programs are free, so we encourage you to take this opportunity to join a community of people with Parkinson's and their loved ones. We'd like to thank again DR for being our guest today, but most of all, thanks to you for listening.